You see, I go and live with Pond Man when the pain becomes too much. And perhaps that is where all myth starts, in the realm of pain. Pond Man's house holds no exigencies. His hazel fence, his daubed door, his steel tap and copper kettle need only be known as ideas, images. Strangely, I do not feel responsible here. I remain detached. His hazel fence, his daubed door, his steel tap and copper kettle, his thick thatch of hair.
A reading life, a writing life, with writer and teacher Sally Bailey.
Saturday morning on the river, and I have already been invaded, and it's not even 9 o'clock. I have been invaded by the Mavis. The Mavis looking for a playmate. She's come in, she's tried on my clothes, she's flung them about the place, and she's left to go and play on the trampoline. I can see two little bodies rising and falling, ping, 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 through the green, lime-coloured leaves of the willow tree outside. That's my neighbour's child and Mavis. They look like two little pieces on a games board, jumping up and down. To meet the wind, Mavis is wearing a red, pink-red, cherry-red tomato top. She's also wearing shorts because it's very sunny today. Two geese just swam by, having an amorous fight. The water is green today. Green, the colour of spring. And I shall put the kettle on and do my teeth. While the birds chirrup, happy to hear the spring. The window is open. I feel the breeze on my arms, my bare arms. On. Teeth done. And still the birds chirrup, chirrup, chirrup on. And I have a cold. I have a spring cold. A spring cold. Colds that come with the change of season. Colds that come on the warmer air. And there is Mavis, still pong, pong, ponging up and down on the trampoline with her playmate. she's been joined by a third. An adult player. An adult player, and I shall go and join them soon, outside. The geese, letting us know they're with us. Between mid-March and mid-April, we are awakened by geese. So Maeve, how many months before your birthday? Mm-mm. Yes, you know, come on. Today is March the...
One and a bit.
6 weeks?
Yeah.
7 weeks?
Yeah, probably.
Because today is March 23rd, I think. And you are a May birthday.
Yeah, probably.
So will we go in the river in May, do you think?
Well, I might go in now if my mum lets
me. So brave. Are you going to take your little chick with you? Your fluffy chick, I see you have there. You're dressing your fluffy chick. What is your fluffy chick called, Maeve?
Jimmy Benson.
Jimmy Benson. He's gorgeous.
Wait, I need to think of a middle name. Jimmy Bob Benson.
Oh, Jimmy Bob Benson. Maeve, does Jimmy have any hair, I wonder? I know that's a bit of a rude question.
He has fur, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh, so
but
he's covered.
Does have a little cute blob.
It's like
a little bun.
First of all, he had a blob, and now he has a bun. Poor Jimmy.
I like it. It's
fun. Oh, he's got a very cute beak. It's very orange. Do you think Jimmy minds being that yellow?
No, I don't mind. It's just... Actually, yeah, I like it because then lots of people get to come and buy me.
Because he's so yellow, you mean? People are drawn to how yellow he is.
Yeah, I really like it. And then all my friends, all my twins will be bought and then we'll have a happy life.
I did notice there were fewer chicks on the shelves than bunny rabbits. Why do you think that is, Mavis?
Because the chicks are more cute.
They are more cute. Do you think that's because he only has a tiny blob or bun on the top of his head?
Yeah, probably, yes. I actually really like my blob. It's cute.
I think we fall in love with cute things because they have slightly odd things about them. Like Jimmy with his bun.
Yes.
Not because they're perfect. Ooh, I can feel the wind coming through. Do you think Jimmy's cold with only a tiny blob on his head of hair?
Yes, I am really cold.
Is he feeling chilly? Shall I shut the window?
Yes.
The March wind cuts us to the bone, or to the blob. You and I have a lot of hair, Maeve, so we're okay in the March wind. Jimmy's a bit sad in the March wind. He's unlikely to go swimming, I'd say, at the moment.
Yes, I'm not actually very furry. I would really rather go in the river. So, yeah. Not helping in any time soon.
Maeve, you're very good at voices. I like your voices. Where did you learn how to do those? Where did you learn to do voices like that, I wonder?
From my friend.
From your friend?
Yeah.
Who?
Hey!
Which friend?
Saren.
Saren, does she do?
Yeah.
voices too.
Yeah. Very funny ones and very funny faces too.
I think it's a way of... Oh, look at that face, Maeve. It's a way of escaping. It's a way of escaping. Creating a voice, creating a character. Moving away from ourselves. Forgetting who we are, Maeve. That's a very good chick face you're doing right there, Maeve. I like your chick beak. Your little mouth doing a beak. Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
See you later. Goodbye. Goodbye, Jimmy. Goodbye, Maeve. Oh dear, I'm sorry, I made a bit of a noise there. With the microphone, never mind. I was thinking we should edit out that aggravating noise that I made at the end of my conversation with Maeve. But actually, perhaps it's a reminder of the kind of neurological pain I'm feeling. The way the cord hit the side of my kitchen sink sounds to me a lot like the way the world is hitting my nerves at the moment, and it's hard to speak of pain because it's so boring. It's not lyrical, it's not interesting. It's interrupting, it's distracting, it's reducing, it's subtracting. It's taking away from the compression and the concision of my thoughts. Nonetheless, I have been writing. Perhaps I've been writing my way out of pain. I have started a new book. Perhaps that's the time to start a new book when you're in pain. I've been spending time with my character, Pond Man. I've been building a world around Pond Man. A world. A house. Pond Man's house. Still. I often start a sentence with still, comma, still, pause, there is the seaside, pause, there is the harbour, pause, there is the harbour master's house, square and jutting and proud, and in between there is an M dash, the harbour master's house, M dash. I'm very fond of the M dash. I stole that from Virginia Woolf. It grants you a lot of space to play in. The Harbour Master's House. M dash. It gives me time to pause, to see the house, to find the house in my own mind. There it is, square and jutting and proud. Semicolon. Another pause. The first house you see on Pier Road, comma, Red brick. I like to repeat. Perhaps I'm trying to convince myself that the house is there. Red brick, comma, redder than the average red brick villa, circa 1870, which is all you can guess without a placard. M dash. Without a placard, so I grant myself the date in that sentence. Red brick villa, circa 1870, which is all you can guess without a placard, M dash. And next to that is Pond Man's house, shaped like an oast house, OAST. Geometric, octagonal, a strange shape, and one that reminds us of hops drying out beneath wooden jousts. Full stop. Slow, the method of coming into existence. Stop. Beer from wheat. Stop. slow drying under the roof from the heat blown up from the charcoal fire. Stop. Up and circulating, comma. The ravenous heat. Stop. Pondman remembers what it felt like. Dry heat between his toes. Not from the kiln, but the sun. Where is she? Tardy today. Tardy most days in early spring. Now he thinks of summer. High up along the downland weald, the bright white cowls. Cowls. C-O-W-L-S. Bright white cowls. 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 Cowls are out. Oh, how they dazzle. He covers his eyes and remembers the feel of warm earth pushing up towards the top. Hat Hill to Levin down. Hat Hill to Levin down. The olden days. Pondman the hop picker yanking and pulling binds bare while the September sun scratches over the earth. Tossing whole leafy lines from the pole into the yawning bin on the edge of the field. Pondman of the strong arms and brown flecked legs. Not a patch of white on him. Not a dazzle. Bright white cowls. And for those moments, when I'm with Pond Man, up on the down, I'm no longer in pain. You see, I go and live with Pond Man when the pain becomes too much. And perhaps that is where all myth starts. In the realm of pain, as the body screams out for another realm. Another way of seeing. Another world. Release, release, release. Pond Man's house holds no exigencies. His hazel fence, his daubed door, his steel tap, his copper kettle. They need only be known as ideas, as images. There, strangely, I am not responsible. I can remain detached. Although I move those images around in my mind's eye. And I vaguely follow his hands, the outline of his back, the curve of his shoulders, the line of his dark brow if he turns towards me. If he turns towards me. He does not always. Pond Man has a mind of his own. He's omniscient. Pond Man is omniscient, and so I'm let off the hook. And earlier today, when I was playing with Maeve and we were talking about finding a voice and finding a character, I was aware of how much we were playing to distract me from pain. And so I'm grateful to Maeve. I am grateful beautiful Maeve, and her sense of voice and character and fun and play and improvisation. And everything else that goes with imagination. There's no need to talk of pain around Maeve. There's no need to talk of... There is no need to talk, perhaps, anymore. Perhaps that's it, really. We need only imagine.
Thank you for listening to A Reading Life, A Writing Life. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please like it, give us a review, or mention us to friends or on social media. Thank you.